Coming up on Roundabout, just how beat up can a car get before it can't drive? Turns out pretty badly. Also, we'll talk about some new vehicles that are actually worse than their predecessors. Plus, the one and only Jim Hall joins us again, and this time he'll sound off on a controversial design trend. Stick around for all that and more on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
In Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko from Rumblestrip.net.
From Autotropolis.com in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
In Long Beach, California, from MissMotormouth.com, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
Hailing from 2953 Analytics, it's I, Jim Hall.
From the Roundabout Studios and the Autoline family of fine programs, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
Same here, and I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout, or Traffic Circle.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 75, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Salutations, panelists, and dear listeners. And boy, have we got, we've got a show planned for you today, let me tell you. Joining us right now live on the cyberweb air, as it were, is the one, the only, James Hall. Jim, how the hall are you?
I'm good. What's the theme for today's show, Craig Stafer?
The theme?
Yes.
This guy knows his stuff.
Right to business.
I know. Hey. Cutting the fat right out. The theme this week is you're doing it wrong.
Like the announcement where that was not in the right spot.
Do you like what I did there?
It was clever. It was very clever. Yeah. You should do this for a living.
I don't know if that's such a good idea. But yes, speaking of doing things wrong, you're running a little bit late.
Yes, I was. In my incredible calendar, electronic calendar, which is actually Steam operated, but it has an electronic interface, my Steam calendar listed me as being here at 8 p.m. And it turned out it wasn't 8 p.m. at all. It was 6:30. And so with the miracle of electric power, I buzzed right down here.
Because you're in a vault right now.
I'm in a vault right now. And got here almost on a light. I got 48.3 miles on electric on that one.
Holy crap.
It was pretty good.
You know how to hypermile then.
Yeah.
Well, drafting those semi-trucks.
With the vault, you don't need to hypermile. As long as you don't have a lot of inclines, you're okay. Okay. It's because it's the secret to it, believe it or not, is set the cruise.
Wait,
Chevy Cruze.
That's the car it's based on, right?
No, the thing is it's doing much lighter potentiometer inputs on it, and it actually will get you better mileage.
Well, I've got to say you more than made up for it, though, because this is going to be a little hard for you guys listening to the audio version, but you brought gifts,
yes.
Particularly gift for me, and I am wearing it right now because you picked me up this lovely – and you got it in California, I remember, right?
It's definitely a California – you can tell just looking at it.
Just look at the – give a hand to that fabric there. Just don't be timorous.
It has – that's made of material.
It's alpaca.
I think I've seen wallpaper that was that same material.
It's
before.
A lovely sort of
but it's made of material.
Almost like burlap.
It's a pink burlap. It's a pink. It's a salmon pink.
I think it's called
pink.
Berlin.
Berlin.
Yeah. But
is that the female version?
Genuine imitation burlap.
Yeah, exactly.
Simulated
imitation. The best part is the pilling.
Well, that's actually a styling element for better aerodynamics, like the surface of a golf ball.
Exactly.
They're reverse divot. They're
you can run
bulges.
Much faster in this than you could, say, an anti-radiation suit that's lined with lead and barium.
So it cuts down on asthma, then, you're saying?
Theoretically.
Oh.
And it doesn't offer the protection from ionizing radiation that the barium and lead-lined suit would, but you'd be faster in it, so you might be able to outrun or at least outmaneuver those deadly rays.
The less time you're spending exposed, the less hazardous it is.
That's true. That's why the people that are always intimidated by trucks on the freeway, so they don't want to pass it fastly.
Fastosaurus.
Yeah, so they basically they slow down when they go by the truck, exposing increasing their exposure to the deadly truck. And these people think that's safe. And I'm like, if you guys are that afraid of trucks, why would you slow down so you buy it more?
Those are the same people who turn left to make a right turn, to swing left to make a right turn.
Well, that's sport driving technique, because Jackie
it's
Stewart would do that.
Scandinavian flick, isn't it? You got to.
Yeah, it's just happening in very slow motion.
It's a practice.
And the truth is, I would love to see somebody do a serious Scandinavian flick with, say, Grand Marquis. I'd be impressed.
Yeah. Well,
so in other words, you're saying these people are doing it wrong.
They are doing it wrong.
Exactly. How do you
right
like
around, that? Right around, roundabout.
Exactly. And fitting that theme quite nicely, our first article, we've got a man who is high on, I guess it was synthetic marijuana.
Mobile One.
A Native American name, Eric? Mary Juana? Am I saying that right?
Juana? I think I dated Juana once.
Say it again, Craigie. It's so cute.
Mary Juana.
Juana.
But the Brits just call it cannabis, and let's leave it at that.
Or a jasmine cigarette.
Well, Eric, so
sounds like a 20s term. Well, yeah. I'm going to have me a jasmine cigarette.
It's a jasmine emerald.
Jazzman.
Jasmine.
No, not jasmine. Jasmine
everywhere.
Cigarette.
Yeah, yes, I know about jazz. So.
Right. So. Environmentally friendly. It didn't want the homegrown product. He needed to get the mobile one, which was synthetically made. And apparently is a little more potent than the standard
garden variety.
Yes, exactly, because it sounded more like he was doing mushrooms as he was hearing voices.
Well, what exactly did this guy do? Why is it crazy? And what is
The dude toked down on the synthetic marijuana and got into his Jaguar. To go save his girlfriend from an alien invasion. And the reason why he knew there was an alien invasion is he heard Dr. Phil's voice in his head telling him that there was an alien invasion coming. So he jumped in 120 miles an hour to go save his girlfriend. Problem is?
I didn't hear of an alien invasion.
Yeah.
Well, only the really important people were told about it.
Oh.
Okay, I'm sorry to break it to you.
Is that like only some of the certain people in V could see that they were lizards and not...
Effectively, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry to tell this to you guys because, in a way, you've just found out, you know. I was in the safety shelter. I'm
Cheyenne
sorry.
Mountain?
No, the safety shelter. I can't say where it is in Franklin, Michigan.
Okay.
Isn't
it the wealthiest
by the
zip
cider,
code
by the
in
cider mill.
Country?
Franklin?
I thought it was.
And no.
I digress. But Michelle, you were guffawing a little bit ago, talking about certain substances here. Do you have any experience with Dr. Phil talking in your head?
That man scares me, actually.
It's the mustache, isn't it?
It's funny. It's usually it's Dr. Mustache. Phil might drive you to smoke or drink. You usually don't smoke or drink to hear Dr. Phil.
No.
Kind of. Backwards,
you're,
right?
He's definitely
theory,
doing
but,
it wrong.
You know, this could be Dr. Phil could be the alien.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah, you see, he could be channeling people to consume a product I didn't even know existed, synthetic marijuana.
Oh, is that how you...
Oh,
okay.
But I didn't even know it was such a thing. I mean, for God's sakes.
And apparently this got even better because he led quite the crew on a chase through a cemetery, a church, and just a general field before he crashed at an intersection.
In his sporting Jaguar.
Now, we found this article on the Car Connection. Does it specify what kind of Jaguar?
It just said Jaguar.
Not that it matters. They're all...
Oh, no. There's some that are different from others.
The E-Type?
We'll get to that.
Okay. I'm going to guess looking at this guy, I'm going to say it was an X-Type.
Yeah.
It was Ford Mondeo.
Mondeno.
Mondeno.
Yeah, there were the three cars built off that platform. There was the Ford Mondeno. The Mercury Mistake and the Ford Detour. And they were all astonishingly successful automobiles. Now, the Mondeno has turned into an okay car.
Mm-hmm. It just had to gestate a little longer, as it were.
And become much more expensive.
And a better vehicle in the process.
Than it
so
was.
So pretty much
but
they
again,
just redid it all from the ground up.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Well, but they didn't. There were little bits of the DNA left in it, believe it or not, and it was where it shouldn't have been.
The sporty handling,
snazzy handling,
the by jaunty the, road noise. Yeah, you can't talk to the passenger sitting next to you at 60 miles an hour.
It had to do with bushings and things that made the car feel a little disconnected, and they still are there.
Those are just minor.
Yeah,
nobody sees them; they don't matter.
Apparently, Kia is using those in the Opto these days.
So this guy, I guess. Would you agree, Eric? He is doing life wrong.
It turned out that way.
Eric the life coach.
God help the world.
Everyone would be better if they had a sport coat like that.
You know, I'm kind of liking this. Although I'm concerned of the stench of diesel fuel, Jim.
Well, our local dry cleaner uses diesel fuel, but it's biodiesel.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's the grease vat
like
behind McDonald's.
Michelle, I'm sorry, what was that?
Tacos. It smells like tacos as well.
Yeah? What's wrong with that? You know, tacos are one of the four basic food groups.
Hey, you know me. I love my Mexican food.
Yeah.
Olé!
El Tipiac, best tacos. Oh, my gosh.
Do you know we have a local food truck that does tacos?
Yes.
Jacques Tacos?
Yes. I saw it on Woodward and Beeham and decided to have one of their tacos, and it was passable.
Oh, not that great, huh?
No. No, I like the stuff where, you know, you're going to have a coronary occlusion after the first bite. It's like, yeah, wow. Because my theory is, if you get a lot of your heart has to work more when the arteries are all clogged. So it's like sitting there having a workout at your desk, and you're sitting there going, oh yeah, okay,
reaching for my pen.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
So yeah, that is probably not a good way to live your life, doing the synthetic marijuana and then trying to save your girlfriend from aliens.
Yes.
So, was he but at least he had a Jaguar and not like a Daewoo.
That would be kind of – that would be typical,
maybe,
wouldn't
maybe
it?
Maybe that's why he could afford the synthetic, because he has – is it Jaguar?
No. It's a purer form, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Shouldn't synthetic things be cheaper than the natural stuff? Because the natural food costs more than the synthetic food. It really does.
It's true.
I think we're missing the overall point of this story. You know, aliens are coming to attack, and what does this guy do? He goes to save his girlfriend. It's very chivalrous of him.
It's very romantic,
no, but,
isn't
but it? No, but it isn't. Shouldn't he be telling all of us that the aliens are here?
But
no, he was concerned about his girlfriend.
That's selfish of him. I'm sorry.
Well,
the whole Dr. Phil part of
you probably don't put me out like his girlfriend does.
I, you know what? That's probably a safe bet. Yeah, I you're probably right.
Wow. That's
we just
something
went there.
Special. Yes, we
well,
did.
Well,
do you guys try to avoid that on this broadcast?
No.
Or podcast or whatever this is. Armcast? I don't know.
Lifecast.
Yeah, Lifecast. Basically. Well, in related news, you know, a lot of automakers seem to be doing it wrong, at least half a dozen of them. Our next article here deals with a selection of vehicles that are arguably worse than their predecessors. Jeff, what can you tell us about this?
Arguably is definitely the key term, but Consumer Reports, they love taking consumers and making them report. And they
you report,
have
we decide.
Cars named here that are apparently worse in their current redesign than they were in their original. And, of course, you got the Volkswagen Jetta and BMW X5, mm-hmm. which aren't that attractive. But then they also list the 4Runner, the Toyota Sienna, and the Mercedes E350.
Well, I would agree with them on the E350 just from a cosmetic standpoint. Mercedes design has hit the wall.
I don't know. I think it was much better than the four-eyed look of the old E-Class. It was just
healthiest man in intensive care, Jeff.
You don't like the Mercedes-Benz E-Class, Jim?
No, I don't like the E. The truth is that Mercedes is this company that has this 100-year-old heritage plus.
That they love to trumpet constantly.
Well, but the point is that you'd never know it looking at their cars. And every car they bring out seems to meet to be a retrograde step. Does anybody here actually think the new CLS looks better than the previous CLS?
I like it.
You do? Even with the cow hips on it and the fact that it's bent in the middle?
Well, I mean, they had to do something.
Yeah, make it ugly.
Like BMW did, right? It worked for them.
Well, yeah.
Although I suppose I've spent more time looking at the AMG version, so it has the winglets to distract you from that.
Yeah, and monstrously nice wheels and stuff like that. Yeah, the AMG cars, but again, it's sort of like taking your grandmother, you know, and dressing her up like a track star. Okay, it you can do it. And
like Betty White in that Snickers commercial.
Right, and you end up saying, nice shoes. Look, Granny's got some nice shoes, okay? Fine.
They're a low-cut strappy sandal or something, right?
Well, that's athletic. She would be very sporting, you know, would have like
a low-cut strappy,
things that fill
easy
up with
spirits.
Like nitrogen gas and make you run better.
Ooh. But you know what? There is a problem with this Consumer Reports thing.
Because it's Consumer Reports.
Well, Charles Crome actually wrote an article about the Odyssey aspect of it, because they said that it had reduced cargo space. But it actually, in his article, he says that Honda spec sheets show both the 2011 and 2010 Odyssey models have the exact same cargo volume behind the third row.
Yeah, remember, they're measuring two different ways, though. They're probably – my guess is that Honda's using the EPA method, which is functionally – think of it as basically filling the car with foam.
Right.
I like.
Okay.
Go on.
Well, and then the volume of foam is the interior volume of the car. It's measuring empty space, not usable space. It's why you had weird anomalies like the old Saab 9000 in the EPA category is listed as a full-size car.
But the current one actually gets more feet with the second and third rows out of the way.
Oh, I believe it. But Consumer Reports, you know, let's face it. Here's a company that tests toasters by stuffing fabric in them to see if they catch fire. Now, okay, I use a toaster semi-regularly, and I have never put a piece of fabric in it to see if it will catch fire.
What if you had to dry your socks, though, Jim?
This is also the same.
I've got gasoline for that.
The same magazine or organization that took the iPhone 4G and said it's the best rated phone we've ever done. It beats everything in any possible measurable thing. But we cannot recommend this.
Well, if it doesn't make a phone call, that's a pretty good reason, isn't it?
Well, obviously it must have done pretty well if they rated it as high as phone they've ever tested.
Yeah, but they might have been using it for like a doorstop, or they might have been using it to put on top of
or putting it in a toaster.
A summer pudding. Yeah, putting it in a toaster. Yeah, it would always work.
Well, Jim, do you take any exception to the Consumer Reports methodology?
The trick question.
The survey.
The survey is highly problematic to me because there is no way to vet the size of their samples.
Mm-hmm.
Small samples give you anomalous data, but you can draw whatever conclusion you want because they still have to fill out the empty ball, the red ball, the you know, so they have to do that anyway. And if they have a sample of 16, 20, 40, 50 people, that's fine. You got to get over 100, 150 to get really good samples, mm-hmm. and they should be geographically distributed. They don't vet for that.
Well, their audience isn't geographically distributed or ethnographically, right? I mean, you're just probably catering to middle-aged affluent white folks, probably.
More than likely. But the point is that's problem number one. The one thing about Consumer Reports that's always baffled me is they test the same way for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be the easiest way in the world to get the easiest thing in the world to engineer a car that'll do well in their dynamic testing and all that stuff. It should be, and it isn't, because the companies start trying to put character and personality in their cars. You know, and it would
dab them. Why Toyotas always do so well, because they have no character or personality.
Well, they don't always do well. Remember, they're the guys that found how the anomalous oversteer on the Lexus LX.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. So it's a strange operation, you know. I mean, you get a subscription, and then they immediately start begging you to contribute more money. It's like public television.
I was gonna say, it's like NPR.
Yeah.
well, back on target.
888-258-9866. 888-258-9866. Sorry, that's Michigan Radio. Last week.
Jeff, let's go over the short list once again. What were the six vehicles that they called out here?
The worst on the list was the Toyota 4Runner. Then we got the Volkswagen Jetta, the Toyota Sienna, Mercedes E350, and the Honda Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. See, the only one that really jumps out to me is the Jetta.
Right. And the X5, I could see that getting worse than the original.
I just turned in the Jetta.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if that car would have benefited tremendously from having cloth seats and not the leatherette vinyl that it had, mm-hmm. would have made a huge difference. I like the car.
Well, remember, the Jetta is a classic example of a car that they've done a relatively good job of engineering for a non-enthusiast group. The problem is that was the core of the Jetta for the past three generations of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are a lot of people who are going to say, "Ooh, it's more affordable." They'll get it, and they won't notice the fact it doesn't have independent rear suspension. And
95% of those people don't care.
Exactly. So when you look at it from a business case, it makes sense. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah. What can you do?
Well, but there's somebody's. I think Consumer Reports isn't doing it right. That's me.
I think any time you take a consumer and ask them what they think, you're already at a disadvantage.
But, yeah, observing the experiment changes the results.
If you go and you ask people, I mean, we know the car side of it, but if you go and you talk to people who are like into audio or who into anything else they test who are knowledgeable,
mm-hmm.
they all have the same opinion to Consumer Reports. Like, these guys are clueless. They're, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Well, they used to test turntables. By putting a frying pan on it and try to cook eggs while it's turning. So they have a strange way of testing products. They really do. The refrigerator.
Was that an inductive heat turntable?
We don't know. Yeah, that's the mystery of it, Eric. I mean, there's no way of knowing.
But what we do know.
Yes.
We have a mini enthusiast among us.
Yes.
In our ranks.
Yes. Two.
Do we?
Yes, two.
Well, you are a mini enthusiast.
Damn right.
Who's the second?
Oh, I thought you were talking about somebody else. I didn't know you was. I always considered myself sort of a secret mini enthusiast.
You're an owner, Jim.
That's true.
Speaking of mini, I actually watched the original Italian Job last week.
It's a great movie.
It was very good.
It's as good as the remake. It's just awful.
And actually, I like the ending.
Did they get the
fact that there was the ending was. There was no ending.
You know? Oh, there was.
Well, I mean, there was.
I got a plan.
But yeah, I mean,
I got a plan.
Yeah, yeah. That's I like that.
So. Mini enthusiast, Jim, you own a Cooper S right now,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do.
Turbo?
Hmm. And a JCW sitting up on jack stands in the garage.
What'd you do to it now?
I didn't do anything. It's the one that was sort of the special build done by way of leveraging my old roommate from
So
Arts
blackmail?
No. No, he just didn't want me to get another Audi. Mm-hmm. And so, long story. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We've got an article here on Car Scoop. Mini is offering a new USB flash drive that is shaped like the car key, as well as a liquid-filled mouse with a mini model car inside of it. Does this appeal to you, Jim?
It would depend on what the liquid is.
let's say it's Everclear.
No, not at all. No, I would.
What's your brand of gin?
Hendrick's. Or South. Stittsmith will do in a pinch, too. Those are three good gins. So either of those, that would be good because it would be like an emergency amount. But the problem is I'd be concerned I'd drain it quickly. In which case, I would have a model mini flopping around in
clattering
a clear plastic mouth.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Well, thumb drives, let's face it, thumb drives have turned into sort of a weird escalating war. Mm-hmm. Of things. There was a Mercedes thumb drive.
Oh, you've got one in the back, yeah.
For one of the auto shows. Well, yeah, the Ford Oval thumb drives, yep. Mm-hmm. And there was the Mercedes thumb drive that looked like the Mercedes key.
We've got.
Yeah. So
creepy
that's
creepy looking, by the way.
The coolest one was the Audi original. It was one of the Land Speed record cars, the one that killed the driver outside of Berlin.
Rudolf Caracciola?
Yeah, huh?
Bernd Rosemeyer?
That's it. The Rosemeyer car. Is that not one of the coolest USB drives?
I like it.
And
it's
awesome.
It's heavy, too, is it not?
It's past metal, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I want in a thumb drive is some weight, Jeff.
Make sure they have a good
weight. Well, and what they need to do, well, I suppose because there's no set height on laptops, wouldn't it be great if it had actual wheels so you could, like, roll it into the USB?
The problem with these artsy-fartsy thumb drives is that when you put them in, they have a tendency to block out the adjacent thumb drive.
Yes. And you can't even access the USB port with some of them.
I was just talking about this one earlier in the show, the Explorer.
Oh, that's the Explorer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the little...
Gotta get that one.
Boy, that looks weird.
I have the Fiesta one from last year's.
Red Fiesta?
Yeah, the red Fiesta. Yeah, I got that one. Mm-hmm.
But
well, we tagged this one because I'm a firm believer that Mini is actually doing it wrong here because I don't think they should... this is just too kitschy for me. And being in not being a Mini fan myself, I find
Craig,
this disturbing.
But Craig, you're not a kitsch fan in general.
I am. You see what I'm wearing,
yeah,
Michelle.
Look at what
how
he's wearing,
say that?
Michelle.
Jim berated you into wearing it.
Jim does not berate anyone.
No, I love everyone equally.
He has a magnetic personality.
The thing is, to me, I'm not... think about it. The thumb drives I talked about are the ones that really are the most unusual or the most seriously automotive, so making it like a key is no big deal. But to a maybe there's a Mini owner that think this is the coolest thing since perforated toilet paper. I mean, I don't know.
What's more places for moisture to go? But my friend's wife... Brad's wife, my friend, her name is Tony. She has a Mini. Mm-hmm. I think it's a 2007. So she would probably love these things, but I'm not a fan. Well, I want my computer peripherals very
well. Mini,
workaday,
Mini,
very.
Mini's trying to go from the Harley Davidson model, where you make more money off of everything but the motorcycles.
Yeah, probably. Although they should probably invest in quality, I would think, given their recent J.D. Power performance.
J.D. Power, there's another great survey. Get me started.
There's
a whole show on J.D. Power.
I say between Jim and Michelle, yeah, there's about 4 hours on J.D. Power.
We should do that one time, Michelle, but we need to sort of, you know, so correspond beforehand because, boy, do I have the stories.
Well, I think we've got the appropriate – I'm sorry, Michelle.
That's okay.
I think we've got the appropriate sound effect for J.D. Power. So mini USB drive, mini mouse, not a fan. But Michelle.
Mini mouse, is that trademarked?
Well, I was looking at Michelle's earring things there, headphone set, bulbous protuberances.
They're barrettes.
It's her hair. Oh. Her headphones are on her ears, okay? Mini mouse would have to wear her headphones up there. Okay, and so anthropomorphic human headphones do not work on large cartoon mice with three fingers and gloves. It doesn't work. It's been proven scientifically.
Well, would you call this mouse in the story a mini mouse since it's got a mini inside of it?
I just did.
He did. Yeah, and it would be. There's no doubt about it.
I missed that.
Oh.
I thought we were making fun of Michelle.
Did we? Well, we are.
We're a combo. I mean,
oh my goodness,
that's why we keep her around, frankly. But
Jeff's on the 7-second satellite delay.
Yeah.
But Michelle, this guy is doing it oh so wrong, but for all the right reasons. What's going on?
There is a video out there that I found on the Clunker Junker Network where they have a guy driving a car that you would think should be completely illegal going down the freeway.
This thing makes the Ranger look good.
I mean, I kind of had to look at what is illegal on cars to not have. It's illegal to not have bumpers.
Yep. Or fenders.
I don't know that it's illegal. I mean, look at UPS drivers drive around without doors all the time.
So do Jeep Wrangler owners.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the doors as much as the condition of the car?
The fact that it's missing the right side of the car?
Looks like it got broadsided by a dump truck.
What have we got here, Michelle? What kind of car is this? Can you even tell?
Oh, I don't know.
It looks like an old Renault, maybe.
I thought it was a Peugeot.
Hold on here. Let me take a look.
Jim will be able to tell.
Jim will tell us.
It's pronounced Puget.
Oh, is it a Peugeot? Gosh.
And the guy looks like the fat guy from Super Troopers.
Oh, how depressing.
And he waves at the camera with he's missing a finger or something. See?
Yes.
Is he missing a finger or is that a giant croissant? He's got all over his other fingers.
Maybe he has a lobster claw for a hand.
Ooh.
Did you think about that?
That's why he can't drive.
You just
properly.
Made this very sad.
You did.
That's
he probably lost it in the accident. I mean,
don't make fun of people with flippers.
I mean, it's so bad. There's no passenger seat. This accident.
Well, if you're driving in Romania, which we're going to say he is, maybe the laws aren't as strict.
Guys, it's a Lada.
Is it?
It's a Lada. It's the Lada. When they took the Lada and they reskinned it, it was basically a Fiat 124 underneath. They did a notch and a 5-door hatch.
Oh, it's a lot of love.
It's a Lada car.
It's taken a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So basically, it's been T-boned on the passenger side.
It is tough for Russian road and Russian winter.
The interesting thing about this, has anybody here ever seen rat rods in person?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you ever seen a rat rod that has no fenders, no bumpers, and a chicken wire floor?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen one with a piece of plywood on the floor, but
I'd rather have
wire.
The plywood than the chicken wire. And I got to think a chicken wire floor is probably a bigger deal than that lot of this. I'd be more worried about the car being sort of, how do you say it, tweaked, so it's always trying to make a right turn?
Well, it's more that the chicken wires there is filler for the floor. There actually is frame rails and stuff.
No, I know that, but there's crud coming up through that doesn't come up through most plywood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luxury cuts of plywood.
Luxury
cuts of
plywood, yeah.
It's one of those things of like how hardcore can you be? Or how much, you know, how far can you take it? That's
yeah.
So, okay.
Of course, there was a whole Volkswagen Beetle that was built just out of wire.
Wrought iron.
Wrought iron.
Which made it heavier than a Volkswagen with a conventional body, which was so weird.
It was cool, though.
Meta. So basically... That should have been leveling up.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. I like that.
So just for the audio listeners, basically this Lada has been T-boned. And T-boned from the passenger side so bad that the passenger seat is gone.
The B-pillar is gone.
The B-pillar is missing. The body panel, or the, I guess it's a four-door, the rear passenger is missing as well. And the guy's driving it down.
All he needs
the
is a Sawzall, and he can make it a convertible.
Or he could cut the other B-pillar off and have it the sort of open theater, it's like a patio car. And they say, what is that? Why, it's my Florida room car. And you just have to put some screen door material or something. It'll be
some wicker furniture in there.
Well, wicker, don't ever badmouth wicker furniture in a car, because that is the basis of a Fiat Jolly. And I am waiting for somebody to do a new Cinquecento Jolly, because that would be one hell of a snazzy car.
Jaunty, even. Michelle, why is this a bad idea, though?
I think it might be a bad... It's a bad idea because it's not safe, and it's...
But if you absolutely, positively have to get to work...
Hey, if he's got a seatbelt and his seat's relatively well attached to the car, it's safe.
You can tell by the lack of the B-pillar that the roof is sort of compromised in its strength. I would think that the rest of the car is pretty compromised as well.
Jim, correct me if I'm wrong.
It
contrary to popular belief, the roof is actually the weakest part of the car. So having that compromise is going to have very little impact on the safety of the vehicle.
No, the roof is not the weakest part of the car. The driver is the weakest part of the car. And actually, this, I think, substantiated. Yeah. You know, because the driver's judgment. What scares me about it, Michelle, is here's a guy that has the poor judgment to drive a car like that. So it's like, what is his driving like?
And anything.
You know, cars are moving around me. I can't get, they will not hit. My car is so badly damaged, they know I have no insurance, you know?
And any car that's based off a Fiat 124, probably, what is that, you know, just above a Brilliance BS6 for crash safety?
Actually, no.
This one at least drove away.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know what they say about landing? If you can walk away from a landing, well, this guy walked away from this one. He apparently drove away and took right off down the highway.
Well, if you want to get in on this awful doing it wrong video action, hit our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can go to the show notes, watch it for yourself. You can be the jury and tell us in the comments section if you think this is doing it wrong. I think it's right for all the wrong reasons.
Half-destroyed car, though. It's not half-destroyed.
It's only a third destroyed, I would estimate.
It's not half-destroyed.
But we don't know our percents here.
So in similar destruction news, we've got another video. I know this is an audio podcast, but again, you can hit the show notes to check this one out. This is a must watch. It's coming to us from Motor Authority, motorauthority.com. And it is a compilation of vintage racing photos and vintage racing crashes. So if you've got a, if you're, you know, squeamish, you may not want to watch
you
this.
You should explain something here. It's not vintage racing like people that go and take their Alfa Romeo 8C 2900s around Laguna Seca. These are old racing things.
1920s.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's real old racing.
Yes, exactly. And it is a bad idea. Well, it's an entertaining watch. You will watch this again and again just because it is so horrifying. Go ahead, Eric.
I say you'll see why often there were more people who died in a race than finished a race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was a bad idea to race a car with zero safety equipment on it.
And
it, an it's open
actually,
top.
And the theory at the time, in the crash, actually really up until the early 1960s, even in the mid-60s, I think, was that you were safer being thrown from the car.
We want to jump free from the wreck.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of it, then it'd be...
Now, what's interesting, there's a documentary that was made in the, I think it was in the either the late 70s or the early 80s, about Fangio. And it's simply called Fangio.
Joanne Manuel.
It's actually a very, very good movie. I saw it actually at the State Theater in Ann Arbor. David E. Davis had a thing where he got the film and they showed it there in the theater. It was great. But the movie starts with very, very, very earlier than some of this racing. So when the cars crash, they'd sort of scutter off the road. And they'd have a mechanic on board and the driver. And they would get out, push the car around back up, and take off. And it showed the racing going faster and faster and faster. And you noticed, as you see this sequence... And it's about a 2-3 minute sequence that they stop getting out of the cars because they're either thrown clear or they're just gone. And I mean, you could see as speed elevated, this happened because early on, a lot of these cars, they were crashing at relatively low speed. They'd scuff speed off. Yeah. The things would sort of bite and, you know.
Like a golf cart.
You know, like babies' bones are rubbery. I understand you can throw them from buildings.
Well, that's why I try to drink vinegar because I'm a firm believer that if your bones are flexible, they're less likely to break.
Well, makes sense, yeah.
So anyway, I digress. But you're right. You can see, and we've just had a video clip here of a guy, and I have no idea what kind of car this is, but it looks like something from the 50s or 60s. It rolled a couple times, and you can see his legs up in the air when it stops. He was in the car. Obviously, he's injured, but he's still alive and probably not crippled for life. But compared to some of the open cars from decades before then, there's a guy that he broke his back or something. If you're squeamish, you may want to pass, but... If you're into this sort of stuff, it's a must watch.
The one that kills me is the one where it flies across and just flames and just just flames all the way across.
Well, there was a horrific
explodes.
And then other cars trying to drive around the flames.
There was a horrific crash at Indy where they were using gasoline at Indianapolis. And the gasoline fire was such that it was opaque and the fire crews couldn't see if the other guys were going to... And that's one of the reasons...
when they used methanol.
Before they used...
Oh, before
it was
methanol?
When they were actually using gasoline.
Oh,
yeah, and it was one of those
Which
things.
Which is why it'd be called Gasoline Alley.
Exactly. Yeah, it wouldn't have been ethanol or methanol alley, but.
So yeah, again,
they have carburation day, and the cars are fuel injected. Go figure. They should have carburation day at every NASCAR race because they're still carbureted. Those cars,
boring.
Those are cars
for another 2 years.
You can't
and
spell
half.
NASCAR without scar.
Core. NASCAR.
But perhaps the
race
best
car.
Crash.
Car got light.
Cargill.
Car got light.
Hmm. Okay.
So you're saying, go on. I sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You sore? We're
I'm
making
sorry.
Sore blades. Perhaps the best crash is the last one they've got here. It's got a Ford. I don't know the Chevy equivalent, but it looks like a Ford Model A, maybe a 1930 model. And they're neck and neck. They're kind of drifting around the corner on this dirt track. And then the Chevy's in the lead. They're bumper to bumper. And he just kind of bites the dirt and rolls over in Ford passive. Classic battle. But, of course, the guy was... horrendously injured, but Ben's got it up there on the computer on the screen. Oh no, not yet.
Advanced surgical techniques using catgut probably healed the man.
Oh, here it is. Ford and Chevy, and ooh, there it goes. Not so nice.
The Holden bites the dust.
Yeah, dangerous times back then.
There's a great sequence of the old Le Mans start with the Mercedes SLRs there in that video, and I remember I once had the good fortune of having dinner with a guy by the name of Phil Hill. And I just asked him about what it was like at Le Mans when it was crazy. He said the funniest thing that ever happened to him, he looks across as he's getting into his car, and here's a guy hopping into a car, and he stuck one leg through a spoke in the steering wheel. This is the Le Mans start. And he told stories. He said, and it was Gurney that said they would be driving the Ford GTs, and they would be going down the Mulsanne straight at about 210, 215, because those cars were fast, putting the seatbelts on. That's one of the reasons they stopped the Le Mans start.
Driving with their knee?
Yeah, at 200 plus miles an hour, and I'm like,
it's terrifying.
Okay, yeah.
What's the fastest you've driven in a car, Jim?
The fastest I've driven in a car was, let me see here. It was 335 kilometers per hour.
What's that in numbers?
It's over 200, but just barely. And the engineer in the car is
335, you said?
335. And
whoa there, Michelle.
Is that you?
Nuclear meltdown.
It's a dosimeter.
The circus just showed up.
And when I was doing that, the engineer in the passenger seat is going, meh, 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 more, more. And I looked at him and said, no.
208.15.
Yeah, it was plenty fast.
What was it fast?
This was in a strange 16-cylinder car that...
Bugatti?
Subject. Yeah, it was a Bugatti.
Boogity.
A Boogity. And,
Boogity, Boogity, Boogity. Yeah.
It was pretty damned amazing.
And it was driving like butter?
It was very noisy, and it's very nervous. The steering wheel was alive. I mean, it's little tiny stuff, and you know you let it do a little bit of it. You don't sit there and try to correct it.
You make chicken noises then? Or?
Oh, no, the car makes chicken noises. And, you know, there's weird stuff on the car. When the Viron is in high-speed mode, the spoiler comes down. It lowers itself in the suspension. But if you turn the steering wheel more than, I think it's 10 degrees, but I'm not sure, when it's in that mode, the mode shuts off automatically. The car rises back to normal ride height for the speed it's at, and the wing goes up. They kill the downforce to get it to go as fast as possible because the wing is a serious drag. And the other thing is when you're on the car pretty hot and you've got the wing up and you get on the brakes hard, it flips the wing
forward
up like an air brake. And
well, that's
it's
awesome.
Pretty spectacular as far as you fast.
Bruce McLaren circa 1965.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once again, that hit the link in the show notes for this
video.
C. Everett Koop not approved video.
And it actually is a music video because there was a band... Yeah. And their song, and they put all this stuff together for the music video.
Yes, yes.
Good Lord.
But keeping our theme alive and well of things that people are doing wrong, we've got a certain Jaguar in our next article, and I frankly don't know what is right about this one.
Well, what's right about it is there's only one. Okay? That's what's right about it. It's come, you know, I think about the great Italian carrozzeria, and historically there have been lots of them. Castagna and so on, but now you have Pininfarina, although they're in bankruptcy, and you've got the resuscitated Bertone, Zagato's trying to get along. I've never heard of Panzani design.
You've never heard of
Panzani? There's probably a good reason why you haven't heard
there
of
is
them.
When you look at this car. Take, first of all, they started with the wonderful Jag S-Type. The Jag S-Type was the Jag that predated the XF, and it's one of those cars that when you saw it, they were trying to channel too much of an old Jag in it. They were trying to channel the 64 through, I think, 68 S-Type, old S-Type. The problem is that, well, there's a problem with it. The car didn't have any of the curvature or form that the original S-Type had. And so they're trying to do it on a boxier car because it was DEW 98 platform, which is the same
Lincoln
as
LS.
The spectacular Lincoln LS.
Are you being facetious?
Oh, it's an incomparable vehicle. It's
bad.
Incomparable. You cannot compare it. Okay.
Yes. No.
And they tried to put this Jag form on it, and it was like the tin car you got as a little kid. And the tin car had silk screened on it all the character lines because really it was like a big rectangular car. So they silk screened the stuff to make it look like it was tapered. Well, that's exactly what this Jag was. So these guys started with that. So they started with a pretty lousy car to begin with from a design standpoint.
You know what I don't like? The drooping, sagging line in the body.
But it's awful.
The car
is awful. It always was awful. It's one of those things that it ignored everything Jags used to be because it was trying to be an old Jag but modern.
Mm-hmm.
But then the geniuses, and I wonder if there is a commendatory Panzani. I like to think there is. And, you know, the guy probably makes bread in his spare time and does a far better job on a ciabatta than he does on a car. But the car, first of all, has been murdered, so it's got matte paint on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is always helpful. If you use a lot of filler in your body and you don't do a good job sanding it out. So I think that might be why we're seeing it here. There's probably a reason this car is not gloss black.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is it has these arbitrary forms on what looks like a Play-Doh front fascia. But the car is elegant as hell.
Elegant.
It's elegant as hell. It really is. I mean, quite literally. And I like to think that you get in it. And instead of that wonderful smell of leather, it's sulfur. The car is awful. And it's one of those things, thank God, you know, because Jag, there's an argument. Some people say Jag design is lost. Mm-hmm. The people I've heard criticize it. I think the XF works pretty well. I like the XJ, but for the abomination of the roof line, because there's a serious one tiny problem in the roof.
And the standard black?
Yeah, people. Exactly. They did. But
that can be fixed with paint.
It can. But
no,
the thing is,
but there's too many. I just had one, and there's too many conflicting lines on the roof. Like, a car should be smooth, and the XJ has like 9 different places where body lines and.
You mean where they're breaking up the body?
Right.
Yeah.
It just needs to be smooth, especially in a car like that. You don't need the sideline, like the weld seam. Like a $90,000 car should be smooth.
Well, it looks like what they wanted to do was a wraparound upper where they had what looked like glass going around the car. And for some reason, they decided to put the chrome molding on that resolves the rear window and makes that black filler anomalous. If they had done that filler around the entire DLO, so they wrapped it around the rear window and wrapped it around the base of the window, so it looked like it had a glass upper, they probably could have pulled it off. It's still going to have those line problems. There's no doubt about it. But it would at least – it would somewhat mitigate them. The problem is it's like they decided partway through they were going to change it, and nobody thought it out. Because if you're going to do a body color, you'd want to fill it. Hmm. And but the point is that the Jag – there was the Bertone Jag that was shown at Geneva.
Didn't care for it.
Well, that's just it. It was one of those things that it was trying too hard to be a Jag in some areas and not hard enough in others. And it didn't have the elegance. Jags used to have this elegance. Mm-hmm. And the people don't realize that Jags were – they were villains' cars in England. They were
because they had good engines and good brakes.
Yeah, and they were basically the guys that were the Jack the Lad South Side up and coming gangsters would always get themselves Mark IIs, and they were wild colors. You know, they would do things like a cream colored car with a British Racing green interior. It sounds funky, but it worked in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Steel blue metallic with red interiors, and they worked. So now you've got these Jags. The interiors look like they're made out of window putty. And then this thing. I mean, I only hope.
Okay, let's
see. The thing
S-type.
Is, on this S type, not only is the exterior an abomination, but the interior may be worse because, like, quilted interior style has been a style for a few years that I like. They screwed that up.
Well, first of all, quilted is BDTD. Been there, done that.
Well, no, if you...
No, but
so
like,
Eric,
if you look
saying,
at the way the Spyker was, Spyker interior, how they did the quilted interior in there, I like that.
You are a GMC Jimmy Diamond Edition fan, aren't you?
No.
Oh, now there's a vehicle. Elegant. There's what? Future collector's item. Get your Diamond Edition right now. Get them at the ground floor because their price is only going to go one way.
Further down?
Well, Jim.
Can't go any lower?
Back to our S-tip.
But again.
Well, Eric's right. The interior is ghastly because they didn't do anything to the interior other than retrim what was there.
Yeah. I mean, bad carbon fiber overlay, Alcantara in all the wrong spots. I
got to say, I'm done with quilting. You know, people don't realize quilting goes back to the Brooklyn, the Bentley Type R turbos. It's old. And Bentley kind of owned it. They could probably still do it. But, you know, they do a quilted interior now in every Ferrari.
Mm.
You can get quilted interiors in an Italia. You can actually get it in the new FF. And they're all ghastly.
I don't care for it because it reminds me of toilet paper. Quilted.
So you're a quilted northern man. Yeah, okay. Jeez,
that explains everything.
But Panzani, let us simply hope this is their sort of first car and it becomes an incredible collector's item because it's their last car.
Do they have a mesh over the fog lamps as well?
Yes, because you got to understand, stone guards on lamps were the norm. And if you go back and look at the original Mini rally cars that they ran in the Monte Carlo rally, the one that actually won, they had stone guards on headlights because stuff would get kicked up and it'd take your headlight out.
Stuff was expensive back then, and the roads were crude. So,
well, and they didn't have carbon fiber, polycarb headlights.
Yeah.
Polycarb headlights are pretty good for taking stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, you can fire yellow very quickly.
Well, but in a rally, who cares, you know?
So if you want to be a party to this automotive abomination, definitely getting it wrong.
Oh.
You know what to do. Hit the link in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. You be the jury. And with that, I think we can take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get to a brand new segment hosted by Mr. James Hall. Talking about certain design elements on vehicles, so we'll get to that. Plus, we're going to have another edition of Meet Your Roadmates, so you're not going to want to miss that with Ben's wonderful list of randomly selected vehicles, courtesy of his supercomputer. But in the meantime, before we do that, we have a new sponsor here on Roundabout, and it is Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. Do it right now if you can. And click on the Advanced Auto Parts link. It's in the sidebar on the right side of the page. Click on that link, and you can save up to $30 on the things you need to keep your car running in top shape. Some of the special offers that are available right now You can save $10 on orders of $100 or more. You can save $20 on orders exceeding $200 or $30 on orders exceeding $300.
You're redoing your brakes and getting new discs and new rotors.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's 10%.
He is good with math. Jeff.
That's some decent percents.
That's a lot of percents, Craig.
I checked my math.
That's a double-digit percentage. I mean, you know, you can't get that.
In a savings account as an interest, right?
It's physically impossible. Yes, you're saving more. By spending the money, you're saving more than if you had put the money in a savings account. Now, that's a hell of a deal.
It's the American way.
That's a whole lot of percents, Craig.
Oh,
plus,
Steven.
It gets better, Jim.
It's not possible.
If orders that are exceeding $75, free shipping. Free shipping. Can you believe that? So
it's a savings in and of itself. You
can order. I know. You can order online, and you can, of course, have it delivered to your home, or you can pick it up in store and have the friendly staff at Advance Auto Parts walk you through. If you've got any questions about doing your brake pads or something, they're there to help. So, again, Advance Auto Parts, click on the link we've got in the sidebar of roundaboutshow.com, and make sure you do that so you get credit for the discount, because if you don't follow that link, it won't go through. So if you go from our site, roundaboutshow.com, again, it's on the right-hand sidebar. You can't miss it. Click there. Save some big bucks on the stuff you need to keep your car running right.
You replace Dancing Craig with that.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, a legitimate advertisement. How do you like that, Michelle?
Well, can we get Dancing Craig for Advance Auto?
Oh, now that
just
would
have
be
a wrench in your hand.
Podcast rates are falling. You got a new dancing jacket. All right. So back to the good content, the meat in the crab claw right now, as it were.
Don't make
We're getting
me hungry.
Cracking. it is now time for our latest segment. We call it Design Hall with Jim Hall. Get it?
That's
Hall?
Clever. Yeah. That. Oh. I thought it had to do with design. Never mind. I'm sorry. I didn't get the joke.
No.
No. Sorry.
So Design Hall is our latest segment. You, people may not know, but you went to actually a design school, didn't you?
Yes, I labored under the delusion for 6 terms that I wanted to design cars for a living, and then
you couldn't carry it full term.
It wasn't saying. That. I was. It was like the would have been the equivalent of the start of the senior year. I'm like, why do I want to do this for a living? Am I out of my bloody brain?
And why is that? I mean, is it just grueling? To
no,
be a designer
or no. I was ruining. Yeah, actually, cars I could draw. The thing I can't draw are people. That's a whole other story. it was like at art center, you had a figure drawing class you had to do, and I turned stuff in, and this guy Jack Linwood had these little reading glasses, and
Slippers.
He looked up and he said, "Have you ever seen a human being?" Yeah, he was good at that kind of stuff, but. I was rooming at the time with a guy whose dad was an exec at a major car company and went on to head the design operation for this major car company. And he would come and all he talked about were the politics of design. I'm this kid going like, why do I want to do that? You know, oh, God.
Well, we're so fortunate you didn't go that route, Jim.
Me too.
Now you are joining us live on roundaboutshow.com.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Do you guys ever call this the traffic circle show, or is it always roundabout?
No, it's roundabout pretty much.
Pretty much.
You know,
or that
you know,
bleeping
Jim,
show
did,
we
I
have
did,
to do.
Jim, I did some of my graduate work at Art Center, and gosh, look where it's gotten me.
Yeah, but at least you've got snazzy hair, okay? I don't. And I've always attributed that to Art Center and Wolfgang Gottschke. Is this guy that was a German student and works at Ford Design, and Wolfgang and I would have these political discussions in the cafeteria, and people thought we hated each other. We were going to kill each other. He was a very good friend. But he's like, oh, you're so stupid. And I'm like, come on. And people literally thought we were going to kill each other. And it's like, see you later, Wolfgang. Okay, Jim.
Oh, so Sunday Italian dinner, huh?
Basically, yes, exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah, it was a blast.
Is that like alles cool or whatever you were saying?
Ganz cool.
Ganz,
ganz
cool.
Cool.
Ganz cool.
Oh, wait, what is she? It's a kitty.
Cat-cast.
To tell you the truth, Michelle, seriously, I love – people think that I don't like cats because I'm a dog person, but I do. I absolutely love cats.
Oh, I hate them, actually.
Well, let me tell you how I love them. Drawn butter.
Yeah.
Little
them.
Drawn butter, you know, and when the fork comes out clean, they're done.
Do you like organ meat, Jim, of cats?
No, I don't. No, no. No, that's
Are
a whole
it's a no. It's a no again.
It's a no again. No.
Yes.
Well, we've already talked about dropping babies off – a roof or whatever, and now we're talking about killing cats. So.
Well, no, I didn't say killing them. I said cooking them.
Yeah. You buy them from the market.
Jeffrey, when you cook a steak, do you go and take care of the cow yourself?
We have people that can do this for us.
This isn't Eastern Market where you go to the Amish guy to get your live chicken. And
yes.
Then, you know.
They go, you want us to take care of it for you? And it's like, no, I'm just not going to get a pet chicken out. They're not pets. It's food. It's like, oh.
Wait, my food was alive at one time?
Hard to believe.
If we're not supposed to eat animals, why are they made of meat? On that note, Design Hall. This is our newest segment. We're trying to highlight either vehicular design, yes, or of a full car, or
we're going to talk about a part on, yes, a car.
Yes.
And the part are fender vents, because every car seems to have a stylish and oh so very functional fender vent now. Now, these things are on Escalades.
Yes, they are.
Okay, and they're gigantic. The only thing bigger on an Escalade for trim is the giant salad plate size, you know, wreath and crest on the back that is really beyond style.
The wreath is inflamed, you could say.
You could say. I wouldn't say that, but you could. You find out that Mercedes or BMW are the guys that really started this, and there's a sad part to that. And if you think about it, it goes back to the original Z07 concept car, which is the car that became the Z8. And that was a functional vent on the side that they used to hide the LED repeater for the European turn indicator.
You're saying the
resuscitation of the vent where
started.
Everybody's got to do it. Started it. And they did it in the Z8. They also did it on the E46 M3s. Had a vent, and that was a functional vent. Not all of it, but it had a part that actually got airflow out. And then they did it on the M5. And then you started seeing it on other cars. Now, I'm not talking about those self-adhesive ones that you'll see on...
that you order from the J.C. Whitney catalog.
Whitney, like Cool Whip.
Cool whip.
But you see them, except that Cadillac got into it with the Escalade and kind of overdid it. They threw one anomalously on the facelift for the STS. Now, to me, a facelift in a car is to take the front ends and rear of the car and make it good, not to mess with the sides. But they did this thing that's totally fake. The CTS is the only car that has one of these fake vents that it actually works. They've incorporated it by taking the takedown at the leading edge of the mirror, and they did sort of an indent for it. It kind of works. The next generation CTS had better not have that vent on it.
Why?
Well,
they're putting GM on notice.
I am, but the thing is they've introduced something that's effectively fake. And that the whole thing about the CTS is turning out to be a good enough car to stand on its own for its merits, not for that kind of stuff. The sad part was the budget for the CTS-V was so tight that to get the car mechanically right, they couldn't even do a different side vent for it or for the coupe. They wanted to, but there was no budget for it. But then they started appearing in other places. And I think, you know, the one that everybody likes is the spectacular outgoing Ford Focus. You know, and it has that really stylish vent that comes on the vehicle.
Jim, you mentioned when I spoke to you before, you filled in for Autoline Daily, but you said fender vents are okay if they're functional.
Yeah.
On the Ford Focus, the current gen, well, I guess it's the outgoing
Focus.
That is functional in that it's attractive, isn't it?
I threw up a lot. I can't even say I threw up a little in my mouth. I just threw up a lot.
Right on that nice Mac, too.
It was on my Mac, and the keyboard's shorting out. Look at those colorful sparks of herp. And anyway.
Mr. Stewart in the chat says, is Jim running for anything? He has my vote.
Oh, the vent on the Focus is, I think, in some ways the most egregious because they ditched the body for it. So they made a little holdout for it. And then the thing is apparently adhesive mounted, and it's chrome with then attached to the adhesive a little tiny black sort of thing that looks like it's like somebody described a vent to someone on the telephone. And then he said, oh, I can do that. And they did this. Now, if you buy the sports package on whatever it is, SES, I think, is the trim.
Top of the line.
Yeah. If you do that and you get a dark chrome grill, they miraculously delete that part. And then you have the Cadillac.
This divot you're
left with.
The divot's
still there. Yeah, well, that's a character line, okay? It's a bad character line, but it's a character line. Then you have the SRX, which has this thing that looks like it is a shoehorn that's been flattened out. With a little elliptical light in it, and they've molded a Cadillac or GM Mark of Excellence square that used to be on all the GM cars and now is coming off of them. And this thing is anomalously put on there, and it's like, well, but that's jewelry on the car.
Mark of mediocrity.
It looks like plated plastic. You can see that the
mold flashing mold.
Not the flashing, but you can see what they call the sink marks on the back molding of it.
Oh, it's awful.
It's just horrible. The irony is that in all of these egregious vehicles with these horrid vents, Ford's done them, GM's done them,
Chrysler hasn't.
They've done something right for a change.
They have. And if you think about it, wasn't the 300 a perfect chance to throw something like that on the car? And it actually was.
But to be fair...
Winning.
To be fair, they had those, what are they, the long line strikes or something? What are they called?
Oh, on the hood. You mean those were retaining ice, like on the Crossfire.
Yes.
That was to retain ice on the hood.
For
now, the poor Michelle in Southern California was never able to experience how wonderful it was when you had little things of ice stuck in the hood of a Crossfire that was immobile because of its performance tires and they turned to linoleum at 40 degrees.
Well, because she lives in the Long Beach, essentially being in desert area of Southern California still, even though it's on the water. You could use that to collect the morning dew so that you could water your plants.
Oh, you could collect it.
Yeah, and during all the water shortages where you're not allowed to water your stuff, you just get the dew there.
You get a bunch of Crossfires you could park out there to collect water for doing your lawn.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the irony about this is the new 1 Series M, which is a car that I am absolutely in love with. I mean, I love the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the biggest fake vent that anybody's done.
And BMW has a heritage of...
That was real on their performance cars, and that's what I don't understand. You see this car, and you see that weird divot behind the wheel opening, and it's like, why didn't they do this as a functional vent? Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. I mean, it's on the back side of that, Eric, and honestly, when you see it from the rear, it's just like, come on, guys. Yeah. Do it for real.
It's not that hard. Not even.
And they're the guys that did it for real. So it's come full circle. So I say it is time to get rid of the faux vents.
Well, okay. I was going to ask you. So today we have a trend, fake vents. Is there a time in history when fender vents were appropriate, such as horse and buggy?
Trick question. I'll explain why. Fenders on cars used to be separate from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about cars in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But guess what? Those hoods were vented.
Mm-hmm.
So they were functional. They were functional then. And what they basically did was pull the fender out over the bodies. And if you looked at some cars in the late 40s and early 50s, they would have exhaust vents. The portholes on a Buick were functional. They let air out of the hood. And they were on the hood, not the fender, when they first introduced some of them. I mean, they were up on the hood because the hood...
It was a raised hood,
exactly.
Two levels.
But then they started disappearing, and a lot of it was for airflow. The irony is... that you want to get rid of a lot of high pressure air on the backside of the fender, out of the fender well.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to do it is with fender vents, but it's not to do it with a little tiny vent. You basically have to open up the backside of the fender.
The whole height of it.
Yeah, right? And you see it when you look at a street car where they've done large flares, they try to keep the backside of it open because they use it as a pressure relief for that.
Hmm.
But it's time to sort of move on with those. And I think, seriously, Cadillac are the guys that should just pull the pin on it. Mm-hmm. And, when you look at the future product range, and with a Lambda SUV, the Lambdas are the
Escalade.
Yeah, there's a Lambda based car in their plan, and you look at that, and I'm afraid it's going to have some sort of
DTS replacement.
The XTS doesn't have a vent there, if memory serves. Looking at the concept, the concept's close to the final car.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they realize it's time to move on.
Well, let's give us a couple examples of how fender vents have been done properly.
Well, I'll go back to the original car. Obviously, on the Z8, it was done right because it was a functional part. They used the vent. That's what's so interesting. They used it. They put a BMW roundel in it. They also, on the back strake, it was an edge-lit LED repeater light. So instead of putting it in the turn indicator or having just an applied lamp on the side of the car, it was incorporated in there. You didn't see it. It was a great thing. It's multitasking because this thing is lighting, it's graphics, graphic identification for the car, it's styling if you like it, and it's a functional louver. So you start stacking that up, it was good. You've got cars where it just hasn't worked. And
a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, they've got it on the Ford...
Taurus?
It's on the Taurus. It's on the... It's on the Explorer. Don't they have a faux vent in the side of the Explorer? Or am I thinking... No, I'm thinking of the...
Alzheimer's moment?
The car down in Australia.
Falcon?
The Territory. Ford Territory has it.
Yes.
And it's pretty awful on the Territory. And they've just restyled the Territory, which looks – it's pretty in your face in a good way. And it looks like, it looks all the part of a Ford. But this vent, you look at it, and it's like, okay, they were just filling up space.
Yeah.
So, you know, literally, do functional stuff on cars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jim, so
– that's the old Territory. You got to go to ford.co.au, I think, to see the Facebook card.
Cryptic URLs.
I know.
So, Jim, thank you for your insight on that.
No problem.
Very controversial issue here.
Yeah, not that. I mean, to me, it is.
We're trying to sell this up.
Oh, yeah. It's controversial.
My God.
All right. So thank you for that, Jim. And we can move on. And ladies and gentlemen, I do believe it is the moment you've all been waiting for because it is time for Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? Each week, or whenever we do it, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. So, for those of you tuning in for the first time, you may have not heard our Meet Your Roadmates segment before. Michelle, do you care to explain?
Well, Craigie, what happens is we are presented with some sort of... They're veiled in our script. Mm-hmm. Vehicles that we're not allowed to peek at. And I can see someone peeking on one right now in our script.
I'm not peeking, honestly.
No.
Well, the problem is they're randomly selected, you know?
Right. They're randomly selected by our giant computer machine.
We have a mainframe. It has 12 megabytes of RAM.
Powered by diesel.
Diesel computer. Now, that's the future of technology.
Well, the diesel is burned to generate steam, so don't get
I love to hear that thing hum.
That's a noise.
Ben, why don't you get that pole starter and kick it loose?
Here we go.
That's our first choice, Ben.
It always takes a few tries. Okay, another one.
He didn't hit the primer bulb enough.
Choke. There we go. There we go.
Just pulling. He pulled the muscle, I think, too.
So we keep it outside.
Well, yeah, otherwise... we would all get garage brain if it was on it.
Yeah. So, shall I pick the first car?
Yes, what have you got?
At random.
You can't say, should I pick the first car at random?
Should I push the button? Well, I actually pull the lever. Let's be serious. Should I pull the lever on the computer that tells it to pick a car at random?
Please.
Okay.
When do I get to do it?
Joker.
As soon as you can reach through Skype, Michelle, and yank that lever. All right, what have we got, Ben? What is our first choice?
Our first choice is a... It is a 2001 Kia Carnival minivan.
Oh.
Who would drive a 2001 Kia Carnival minivan?
I just have one question. The forward-facing hood scoop factory installed?
But do we have pictures of this?
We do.
Can I go to the link now? Oh,
click the link.
I didn't know when I was – because it says don't peek, so I wasn't going to peek. You know, I'm
– I know Jim's, like, playing by the rules.
Silly me.
Michelle, you were saying shut up at something? What?
I have a 2001 Kia Spectra.
Well, this is a Carnival minivan. It sounds like a bucket of fun.
You know why? Why does it have the hood scoop?
This is the turbocharged version, I think.
It's the turtle diesel, version. Exactly.
It's for the intercooler, the top-mounted intercooler.
That is correct.
You are correct, sir.
And it's snazzy.
So 9-seat. Wow.
And it's Kia. British Racing Green.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a manual transmission.
Korean racing green when it's in Korea, though.
Mm. It does kind of have like a little bit of an aggressive nose. Besides that scoop, the scoop kind of makes it look like it got a hair a little.
The headlamps
aggressive,
look
like
Michelle?
The headlamps look like cat's eyes.
You say the front
the
cataracts.
No,
it looks like
drawn butter.
It looks like a stretched out contour nose.
Yes. It definitely does.
And then the back end sort of looks like a, I can't remember which version of it, but a, like a Chrysler Town and Country minivan.
More like a Windstar.
Windstar?
Ford Contour.
Oh, so it keeps the whole Ford theme going with the
car. Jeffrey, what were you saying?
I think the worst thing you can do to a car design-wise is put a license plate on the front.
That depends on the state and the country and all that stuff.
But you're right, though. If you've ever seen a Viron with a front plate, they're awful. They're just awful.
Awful.
Yeah. But the man's right. They shouldn't have to, in this age of electronics, they shouldn't have to have license plates anyway.
No. Everyone should have a chip in their arm. That's what I think.
You don't?
Not that I'm aware of, at least.
I have one in my tooth.
I have one in my dog.
So we got a 9-seat Kia Carnival turbo diesel minivan in, and I quote, very good condition. Sunroof, rear heat, great AC, aftermarket audio, ow. Mm-hmm. Power everything, roof rack, alloy, wheels, and more.
And
they didn't sell this in the U.S., did they?
The Carnival? Yes, they did.
Did they?
It's a Sedona, isn't it?
Exactly.
Is it?
Yeah, only we got different powertrains, and that was the first thing to get a 5-speed auto, because the car that vehicle is very heavy. And the only way they got fuel economy out of it was they put this really wide gear spacing 5-speed in it. I mean, but it's really heavy for its size.
I remember this looks like maybe the previous generation, that I'm familiar with, but I used to work at Enterprise Rent-A-Car back in college for about a year, and we had Sedonas, and they had the 3.5-liter V6, mm-hmm. like 192 horsepower. It is atrocious output for the displacement.
That was because the engine, they had basically shifted power for torque. They needed torque because the car was – it was a very heavy vehicle. Mm.
But everything above the Rio was always really heavy with the Kias.
Exactly. Yeah, until they started doing the platform sharing. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah.
I was just going to make fun of the Borrego really quickly.
The what? I'm sorry. I went to the website. I couldn't see the Borrego.
All right. So the object of Meet Your Roadmates now is we'll each go around the horn here, and mm-hmm. we've got to determine who would drive this particular vehicle. So does anybody want to go first?
This is the Korean soccer mom wagon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except they actually take it to soccer.
I would say it's the Korean poli-sci university professor with the tweed coat and the pipe, and that's because it has a manual transmission. And he uses this because the family, when they like having a good feast, they can put a lot more of potential eating stuff in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. But he's got the tweed coat, and he's very much like the English professor.
Okay. I imagine a Korean version of a rapist driving this sort of van, but that's just me.
Does it come with therapy?
That's where you always go, Craigie.
Yeah. Why does he always pick a rapist? I'm sorry.
I always go with strippers. You always go with rapists. It's what we do.
The formulaic meet your roadmates. Jeff, what?
Does it come with kimchi air fresheners?
Oh, kimchi.
Kim Jong-ki. Jeff, who do you think would drive this thing?
Someone without a lot of freedom.
Pyongyang?
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be a very popular car for the inner circle of Kim Jong-il. Yeah. You know, the really good guys get to drive these.
Oh, and his fat son.
No, his fat son would get a Mercedes. I'm talking about the inner circle.
Is that his name? Fat son?
It's his name.
Wow.
You know what? I could actually see this being driven by maybe a U.S. family that got stationed in Korea, because there are a lot over there.
Yep.
And the guy kind of going like, okay, well, you know, they're going to start selling these in America sometime soon. We can take it back with us.
So you really can't buy anything but a Korean car in Korea.
No, you can.
Well, you can if you're willing to pay 200%.
No, only 100.
Isn't the Ford Taurus a super luxury car over there?
Well, the truth is, outside of the United States, the Ford Taurus was a super luxury car everywhere.
So in
Japan, they had right-hand drive super luxury Tauruses. Oh my gosh!
The show Taurus.
No,
just for show.
No. They had the what was it? The Mr. Spock engine.
Warp core?
No, the Vulcan V8.
Oh, okay.
V6. It's Vulcan. So it's like
the lump of iron that did nothing but run for 300,000 miles.
Yeah.
Make 150 horsepower, maybe.
Oh no!
When it went out, it was like 155, wasn't it?
It was sporty.
Okay. Well, so first choice was the Kia Carnival minivan, which is a pretty awful choice, Ben. Thank you. What's our next option here?
It wasn't Ben. It was the computer.
It was the computer.
You did, Michelle.
All right, Michelle, you want to pull the lever this time?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. Give it a tug.
Okay, wait.
Good job.
Strong one.
Oil that thing.
I know. This is going to be
this. What have you regurgitated for us now, Ben?
So our next one is...
Pass.
Next. Wow. I like it.
Riva Standard.
With air conditioning.
Is this the Indian AC version of the Volt?
No. This is the Indian version of the Aveo.
I was just saying,
I already have an answer.
This is what happens if an Aveo and a smart car ever got together.
Okay, Michelle, you're chomping at the bit. Who would drive this Riva Standard? Not even the Deluxe, just the Standard.
No, this is me starring in a Bollywood movie where I get to be the poor girl, but I drive the funky little car. Only I probably have it painted patchwork or something.
You mean kind of like Harlequin? Like those Harlequin Volkswagens, reach fenders, panels? Oh.
That would be
holy
Nikes.
That would be Gans cool.
Gans cool.
Gans cool.
This is so they're asking 2 million Indian rupees for this car.
Yeah. Slightly negotiable, by the way.
I would hope so, because that translates to $44,385.26.
You know what? I hate to say this, you're not good at reading numbers. It's
Two
commas. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I saw two commas.
No, no, no. Don't count the commas. Count the number of zeros, Eric. Okay? Listen, by the way, you got change for a 10?
The price is slightly. I would go as low as $90, but not lower.
All right, $4,400.
Exactly.
That's what I was like.
Well, but you're paying for the AC.
In January.
I gotta say
what, Jeff? I'm sorry. What was that, Jeff?
I had a new battery, so that ups the price like $30.
Mm,
yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, I figured I was going with the it has air conditioning in India.
that's
worth a premium.
That is valuable. And the other thing is it has music system. Now, this has me concerned, okay? It has a music system.
It's
now,
a Victrola.
Well,
play your favorite wax cylinder.
Or perhaps, you know, in the back seat. You know, I mean, I don't know. This is interesting, the concept of the music system. But you'd have to feed those people if they're in. Well, there's not a back seat, so they must be like.
Do they live in the dashboard, like navigation?
No, they tie them to the roof.
Mm, okay. What is the Indian equivalent of a mariachi band? Is there such a thing?
Oh, of course.
And they did, yeah, like you said.
There is. Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. You know what I like is when you're at the Mexican restaurant and the mariachis come by and they go, "What would you like us to play?" And you go, "Checkers." And they never do. They, you know, so I guess they find a tune called Checkers, which is so depressing because you think you got them and it's like, no.
All right, who would drive this, Jim?
Who would drive this? A failed Indian television commercial director.
Infomercial director?
No, an actual proper television commercial. And every product he tries to sell with sort of Bollywood hoopla. Okay, but he's trying to sell things like electric shavers. So he's doomed from the start, you know, and he just can't keep a job. So they, out of kindness, instead of paying him off on one of these things, they give him his fabulous Riva Standard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the guy that has it. And as a result, the music system is being used heavily in the car because it covers his crying.
Yes. Well, you see, I imagine somebody with a number of prostheses driving this car. But I don't know. I don't know ethnicity, though. I'm not certain on that. But somebody that has lost some things along the way. Jeff.
In a car this small, wouldn't prostheses be a little clunky? Like getting in and out.
Well, it would depend. He might have a prosthetic liver.
Well, if he's living.
Oh,
if,
true.
Okay.
What if he's
true.
Living on a fixed
eye.
Income, Ben?
See, I would guess this be like an Indian yuppie.
Oh, wait,
Indian environmentalist.
Wait, stop, Jeff. If it was a yuppie, wouldn't it be black?
No, because they want to stand out a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you'd stand out in that. Let me tell you. You know those little trikes that they use for yeah, they're like motorized rickshaws, but they use them for taxis in Bangalore. This actually makes those look appealing.
Mm-hmm. Well, those
I think
are open
there's
air,
a rickshaw cool. somewhere in Romeo, Michigan.
What?
Some gangly dude pulling it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar.
There's
but
a story there.
There is.
In other news,
I was looking to see being in Bangalore, and that's where all the call centers are. I would say this is someone who's just started working at a call center and can step up from a bicycle. This is what they've just bought.
This is the assistant manager of the call center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the assistant manager of the call center. This is it. You're right. He nailed it. He's got it because it is the assistant manager of the call
ding,
center.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
We have a winner.
And not only this car can be driven 24 hours a day, which is important if you're at that damn call center, okay?
Because
they go to work at, 2 in the morning,
exactly.
Right?
Absolutely. This car will start at 2 in the morning and will only awaken about a third of your neighbors.
All right. What's
sounds
our
like a Wookiee.
what's our final option here, Ben?
All
final
right.
solution to this
The final
puzzle.
Solution. Here
who's
we
the winner?
We're not really tallying. It's just
no one's a winner
think?
On this
you're
show.
The winner, Jim.
No, I don't want to be the winner.
You've already won an award from the Comb Society, but I digress.
All right.
Third and final choice.
Third and final.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
See, we are winners. We are all winners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, who would buy a 1998 Corando in dark blue?
Is this another Korean one?
This is a SsangYong. There was a SsangYong.
Corando or Naranjo?
Corando. The best thing about the Corando is it had the world's largest side marker reflector.
Yeah.
It's a yard long, and you know.
I was just going to say it looks like Dolly invented this side marker.
Yeah, the only thing is the front, you would want to be dribbling over something, you know?
It's not a cunning. There's a 50s car that the headlights and the grill remind me of because they're so smashed together.
A bow car?
Nash Metropolitan?
No, Nash Healey.
Yes.
Nash Healey.
Yes.
Nash Healey. Yep.
Oh, and then boy. The back looks like a Suzuki XL7 or whatever they called it
yeah.
back
yeah.
then.
Yeah, it's a tracker, whatever the tracker was, because it's got yeah. those little blistery flares and stuff. It's
stylish as hell. I mean,
is Corando the brand?
No,
that's
it's
a model.
It's a SsangYong. It's got okay. the SsangYong double S in the grill. That's the SsangYong logo, mm. and it's a SsangYong. I think it was the first of their pseudo off roaders they did.
It has remote control doors.
It's a soft rotor.
Remote control doors.
That's what it says.
Safety bars, radio, view on site, Donggu Daejeon.
It must have remote control locks.
I'll bet that's it, although I like the idea of being able to open it up into someone in the parking lot while they're walking by. And they're like, dong. You know, it's like, oh.
Remote control
and
doors,
you can
they,
control
like,
that with
out,
the Sang,
right?
My SsangYong app. Open door into someone.
Now, Michelle, you like the Korean cars, Michelle. You like
I
this
do.
One?
I do.
You would stand out in this vehicle.
A car just drive through your living room?
I think my mother just moved something in my kitchen.
May Naranjo's
if
here?
If she's moving the stove, you have a potential problem. Unless it's electric.
Built into a countertop.
Hey, this is a good
she
deal.
She have the strength.
And I did triple check that I had the right number of zeros here. At 2.2 million South Korean won, that's only $1,955.
Ridiculously cheap.
I don't
what
want
does O N O stand for? Or no offer?
Or nearest offer. Oh, he got me.
Zing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's Yoko's car, sorry.
This is something. No one would drive this.
Okay.
I would say it. Like a poser Jeep Wrangler wannabe driver in Korea. Mm. You know, someone who thinks they can go off-road if there's off-road in Korea.
See, I
yeah,
think
but
I
would then
think
you there's have a like lot something like the, right? that little Suzuki, what's it called? The XT.
X90.
Oh, the thing. Car with no market.
I love that thing. So, I mean, if I could have this little thing, I'd probably try to build it.
I understand,
something.
First of all, the Corando is not that small. This vehicle is not that
well,
small.
Is it really Korean or is it Muslim being Quran?
It's Korean.
Okay.
And it's a little bit longer than a Wrangler.
Wow.
So it's not, it's got a... I think they built them with like 2.3 liter, 2.5 liter engines. They had diesels in lots of them, although this doesn't have a snazzy hood scoop, so it's probably some gas-sucking, under-compression ratioed four-cylinder gasoline engine.
Oh, something they would have brought over here.
Well, there were three occasions where SsangYong almost was brought over here, and one of the times was the operation of SsangYong was assumed by Daewoo.
There you go. That's winner right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, they literally started running it. They bought it, but they never exchanged any money for it. Literally, it was one. No, they seriously, they were listed as buying it. A Korean bank sort of said, fine. And it was being run by Daewoo for about a year and a half. And they were talking about bringing it in the States. And the other vehicle they make called the Rexton, which was designed by Ken Geely, is a Brit designer. The ugliest car in the world is actually a SsangYong. It's this people mover. And I think it's called the Rodeus. And it is literally the ugliest car that has been built in the last decade.
Okay.
What's that? That's the Rexton. Yeah, the Geely, that's the Rexton? The Rodeus, yeah, the Rodeus makes...
The Fiat Multipla look nice?
Well, no, it actually will make an Aztec look nice.
It's not, I wouldn't...
Are you looking at the Rodeus?
Yes.
You have to see it in person. First of all, those wheels that look like they're 13-inch wheels...
They are.
...are 16s. Oh, the car is gigantic.
Oh!
Yes, isn't it elegant?
I've shot so now, now, than
well,
that.
At least now I know where the grill for the Hyundai Genesis came from.
Yes. Well, that and a Klingon forehead.
Right.
But the thing, this Corando, I'll tell you who would actually own it. It would be effectively an NKRA infiltrator, okay, that crawled through the DMZ through one of the tunnels they have. North Korean Regular Army infiltrator,
mm-hmm.
who would take it to come down so he could basically kidnap people they think are Japanese,
uh-huh.
and then take them back to Korea. North Korea.
Repatriate them.
Not exactly. There's another thing they use.
Labor camp.
No. Intellectual labor camp. But this car is perfect for that because being mostly black, it could be operated at night. And with its dicey electrical system, you know, it would probably have headlights.
Stealth
wow,
mode.
Look at that car go by right in front of Jeff.
Doppler effect.
You know who would drive this? Whatever. What is the Korean equivalent of a librarian?
A librarian.
They would drive one of those.
Yeah, they have books in Korea.
Wow, what'll they think of next?
I know. And they have television, radio, and they have the ability to freeze food. And they can preserve it in jars
in
the backyard.
Can they preserve sores?
And they even have their own saunas.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Well, Ben, those are the three choices. Great picks from your computer. What?
The computer, I just got a
There's
little
There's an
receipt.
Error slip.
We've got a bonus round this week.
All right,
week.
Let's hear
this
it.
This has never happened, so I'm not sure how well this goes. Now,
did
this,
the computer select the bonus?
Yeah.
It burped.
Yeah.
Michelle broke it.
So
it might have.
So, Eric, you want to pull the lever this time?
Lever
sure.
Hard.
Okay.
I thought you already said it burped it out, Ben. Why don't you pull the lever again?
To put it on the vacuum tube display.
Okay. Here's the deal. It's a reversed Meet Your Roadmates.
Explain how that works.
We've never done this before, but apparently it describes the person from what I'm reading out here, and we have to pick the vehicle.
No.
Mm-hmm. What person would drive that vehicle.
What kind of car would this person drive, logically?
Exactly. All right, so here's what it says. Brenda is a 43-year-old housewife who enjoys using the MySpace. It puts that in quotes. Where she learned about 30 Seconds to Mars. She loves spending her afternoons reading Sweet Valley High fan fiction and eating Dreyer's Dibs ice cream snacks.
I have the answer.
She has no children of her own, but she does have a 15-year-old stepson that doesn't look forward to spending weekends at her house.
I definitely know what she drives. A convertible V6 Mustang.
No.
It's not Michelle.
Michelle doesn't have a Mustang or a convertible
Mustang.
Not,
no.
No.
Nope.
So who would what would Brenda's primary transportation be? That is the question. She probably needs something practical, being that she has a stepson that is not hers and of questionable legitimacy.
Craig, did you find this on your internet dating site?
Sea Captain Date. No. Sea Captain. No, Michelle. The supercomputer spat this out randomly, okay?
Okay.
Who, and I'm pointing with my pen at the screen, who would drive this? What would she drive? Pardon me.
Jeff?
Who would drive her?
Oh, please. Mm.
Really?
Someone on death row, probably, that she's been corresponding with in the back of napkins, smuggling them in the jail. But Jeffrey.
I already gave my answer.
Which was?
Toyota Highlander Hybrid.
Wow.
Something sophisticated. All right. Michelle. Michelle.
Sophisticated, really. I would actually say an older Explorer that she's holding on to.
Because it's going to go up in value. Collector's item.
Right.
But did she take the Firestone tires off or leave them on?
They're perfectly fine. Use that tread up. Go down to the warehouse.
I still maintain it's a V6 Mustang convertible.
No, she owns a luxury year? She owns a luxury car. But it's an affordable luxury car.
Cadillac BLS.
No. Mm. She has an Infiniti G20 that is mostly lace from rust. It's gold metallic with a beige interior that's starting to get that funny green patina as the
copper
as the dye wears away from the beige, and it's the darker leather color is sort of mixing with the beige. That's what she's got, and she calls it her luxury car.
Luxury.
Yes.
What was that Subaru sports car?
SRX. Or no,
with the little half wind.
SVX.
With the half wind.
Yes.
She would drive
SVX.
One of those
are sure collectors of the future, so I don't think so.
No? Too classy for her. We'll agree to disagree then.
Okay.
You know,
you're wrong, of course.
This is a hypothetical, and everyone is right, because we're all winners in the game of life, you know, of roundabout.
We won!
That's right, Craig. You haven't said it yet, so I have to.
I know.
Well, I think with the conclusion of Meet Your Roadmates, I think we can just about conclude the show, wrap things up here.
In fact, we can wrap it up.
We are done. You've survived. Congratulations. So, Eric Tritko, rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter.
Yes.
I understand you're plugging something else again this week.
Yes, I am participating in the MS Walk in Detroit on May the 7th, and I'm trying to raise at least $500 for that. And so I am putting the call out there for anyone who'd like to help me raise at least $500. You can do so by going to bit.ly/DETMSWalk.
bit.ly/DETMSWalk.
Correct.
All right. Go there and donate for a good cause.
Yes.
Jefferson Ross, holding up his Tigers sticker.
Go Tigers.
He's a Detroiter to the heart.
I love video. I have so much stuff to play with here.
Who'd have thought that Jeff would be the one to say that?
I know. You're the one that fought it for so long.
We love it, Jeff.
I love it.
Here's my little piston. I love this.
Awesome.
He's got so many toys.
He's a trinket collector.
I am.
So autotropolis.com.
Yep.
Probably got some stuff from Amelia Island coming out, the Concours, right?
Yeah, I got to drive the SLS, a 911. Got some good pictures.
Mm-hmm. The new 911, the upcoming car?
The GTS. I don't know if that's the upcoming.
No, that's the build-out. There's a car coming out in the – I think it's going to be released in the fall that's got new sheet metal and revised engines and so on. So
no. This is just, like, current stuff.
You always know when they're going to get rid of 911s because they bring out a Speedster. Literally, that's at the end of the cycle by design. So
they can get rid of their turbo bodies?
Basically, yeah.
Well, Jeffrey Ross, Autotropolis.com, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Michelle Naranjo, MissMotorMouth.com. What's up, Michelle? What's going on?
Let's see. I have to mention that Ford did give me their spare tickets last night for American Idol, so I could take my daughter, who wants to marry Casey Abrams, the guy that played the Nirvana song.
Norm Abrams, what?
No, he's like this kind of like, he's like the emo American Idol kid, and
Stephen Ewing.
She sat during the show so close to him, and they both sat there making heart signs at each other, which is kind of concerning because he's like 19. She's almost 18, so I guess it's okay. But yeah, that was kind of
really. You're sheltering her, Michelle.
I am. I'm sheltering her.
You had your first couple kids by the time you're that age, right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, by my count, if her daughter's that old, she had the kid when she was 4 years old.
It's true.
Yeah.
What a compliment. What a nice guy.
Which is pretty amazing. I'm impressed, Michelle. Okay. I mean, even more so now. It's like, wow.
Is that biologically even? You know, I mean,
I never say never.
Yeah.
Especially never. In this age of super science.
So, Michelle, your daughter, you were at the American Idol taping. Your daughter got to see the singer there. What else? Is
yeah. Let's see. I'm going to New York for the auto show.
Sweet.
I'm super psyched about.
We'll have a roundabout. You'll have Steven there, so it'll be two roundabout representatives at the New York show.
I'm
awesome.
Super. I've never been to the New York auto show, so I am really happy about that. And we are, you know, trying to get.
Jeff is stealing your plug over here.
He's gesticulating. He reminds me of John C. Dvorak.
I know.
Luke. I found one for him.
That's okay. He's prettier than me anyway. But, yeah, so we're doing the Open Line 24, which is bit.ly/OpenLine24, and looking for co-hosts for us to do our Around the World Open Line, the normal Open Line will be on Monday night, the normal time of 8 p.m. Eastern, and right here on Autoline. So that's it.
Perhaps we should ask Jim Hall if he'd like to be a host on the 24 hours of Open Line, seeing that he doesn't sleep.
I've 2.5-3 hours max every night.
That yeah, you know, Jim, you need to call in sometime because we'd love to have you.
I would like to. The problem is when you do it on Monday, we eat in a very continental fashion. So we're usually eating dinner about 8:30. And the idea of me hanging on the phone and you know, like she who must
yeah,
be obeyed saying, what are you doing?
That's the great thing about the show. It'll go on for, you know, 4 or 5 hours. Well, so you can drop in anytime you like.
Does it run that long?
Oh, yeah.
It'll
go 7, 8, 9 hours
sometimes. Yeah, I mean, call in at midnight.
Oh, holy moly. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good.
All night.
He's excited.
I am. That's exciting. Since I found the house I want to have.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Ben Sanders, the Colonel. We've got to thank him for getting the show done, getting the live show off
and
running.
Thank you, Ben.
And this, I have to say, this our first like video, you know, seeing everybody on Skype and everything, that has gone
steamingly
better than I ever could have expected. So,
no crashes.
Steamingly?
That's a bad word. Steamingly.
Steamingly? Is that I've seen that
house. Let me give you the background on that adjective.
Yeah. I've seen that house.
Went to a Chinese restaurant, got the menu, were looking it over, and they had like orange duck or something was one of the items. And they, quote, it was served steamingly, yet still the plump and juicy.
Hey, ESL, okay, it happens.
All right. Well. And, of course, we cannot forget about Roundabout Repeater now.
And Autoline Daily's evilest host.
James P. Marshall Hall Jr.
Retired.
He cracks himself up. Jim Hall, 2953 Analytics. Thank you so much for making the trek down to Livonia. We appreciate it.
A pleasure. And I was able to do it again with electric power, so I won't be going up that way. Engine's running on the way up.
Burning the dinosaurs.
But yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, 2953 Analytics.
That's right.
That's a lot of analytics.
Yes, but less than 3,000, which has been proven to be an apocalyptic number of analytics.
Now, if someone were looking for a few analytics, mm-hmm. you're the man to get in touch with, I understand. How might they do that?
Bring a big, fat wallet.
Yeah. the website is a client website. You got to be a client to get in. It's sort of a weird...
It's a gentleman's
club,
it's
like an American Express black card.
Is there one?
But for analytics. The Centurion card.
Oh, a Centurion card. Yeah, that's different.
You've got
so 2953 is like, if you have to ask how to get to 2953, you don't want to
Well, when the clients find out about it, they go, oh, that's clever.
Right. If you get to 3,000, you're at the end of the cul-de-sac, turn around.
And go back to 2953. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the one on the right with the great garage.
Jim Hall, thank you so much. And thank all of you for joining us on our panel tonight. And thank you, listeners, for joining us as well. We can wrap this baby up. Remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or about 3:30 Pacific. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, our weekly television program.
Autoline Daily.
Of course. Autoline Daily hosted, fill-in host Mr. Jim Hall here. When John McElroy's out of town, we oftentimes have the great James Hall come in to host. Always a pleasure to have you there. And, of course, Autoline After Hours. Can't forget about that.
Every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best bull session on the auto industry you'll find anywhere. Will somebody please leave us a message? We have a Google Voice number, and you can get in touch with us at 1-559-ROAB-411 in numbers. That is 1-559-762-2411. So please give us a call. We would love to hear from you. Also, check out the Roundabout Emporium. That is on our website. Just roundaboutshow.com. There's a link in the sidebar on the right-hand side of the page. There's a little dollar sign. You'll see it, Roundabout Emporium. You click on that. Takes you to our Cafe Press page. You can buy all kinds of great Roundabout branded gear. Coffee mugs, beer steins, hats, t-shirts. Great stuff.
You need a Bosque hat, a beret. You really do.
What about a Tam O'Shanter?
No, it wouldn't work.
Okay. Well, we'll take that suggestion under advisement, Jim. Also, we are on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And, of course, we are on Facebook as well, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you can't find us on either of those outlets, search. Shouldn't be too difficult. We're there, and we would appreciate it if you liked us. Also, if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. I'm sure you do that, Jim, or on the Zune Marketplace as well. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
And off Jim goes in his Volt.
Look at me! Look at me! I'm driving an
EV. What are
that? First of all, Jim, you've hosted daily quite a few times now. Several times back, we had a little wager. I don't know if you recall.
Oh yes.
Regarding the Chrysler 300
quarter window in the door glass.
And as I remember, I was actually ended up being correct on
you
that.
You were correct. You're absolutely correct. You were correct. I admit it.
And the wager was that you would bring inappropriate food items in.
Oh, I forgot.
In the absence of our falafel or Korean barbecue for Ben, I've went ahead and I'm going to do the gesture, but for you.
Well, so I can bring inappropriate food items next time. I have a marvelous collection of them that I keep next to my box of open source.
Yeah. All right, so I got you a few food items.
Don't confuse them. It'd be very inappropriate food.
I got you the
crispy.
crisps.
I got you a dollar store trifecta of food items here. So the first one up, and these have been sitting on my shelf for a couple months, but
they're well seasoned then.
Exactly. They've marinated, the marinade. So you get some smoked cocktail oysters, Polar Brand, finest since 1976. Those are yours to keep absolutely
free. Were these packaged in 1976?
Probably.
Wow.
They have a patina on them, on the actual food,
These are cocktail smoked oysters, not just smoked oysters.
You got to sell it up, Jim.
Ostiones ahumados para cocktail. Well, that's beyond. How many servings are there in here?
You're welcome.
300. Why, thank you to have cocktail smoked oysters.
Well, to go with your cocktail smoked oysters, I think it is also appropriate that we give you.
Oh, is it pie Armour?
Oh! Vienna sausage. Because you got to have the mechanically separated chicken.
That's right. And the best part about these was the nickname that they had for these back in the original Desert Storm. This was part of the MREs in the old Desert Storm. And the GI's nickname for them were the Fingers of Death.
Why? Did they cause a loose stool or some other bowel?
I don't know, but they were referred to as the Fingers of Death.
Well, now you can enjoy the Fingers of Death.
The combination of these two products is you know, this is a food cornucopia.
It gets better. I hope you can find a use for this, Jim. Perhaps salting the driveway, but you got to have country gravy mix.
Oh, you know, the things that are
real country gravy.
I got to tell you, the things that are in country gravy, I didn't think you could turn into powder. I thought it was physically impossible.
Like fats and oils.
But this is obviously powder or something. Exactly. How do you
powder grease?
Exactly.
It's a colloid. All right.
Oh boy. Now, you know, it's good because this has partially hydrogenated soybean
anything hydrogenated
oil. You know, that's okay.
Well, they can't make up their mind, so it's the scary part.
It has modified cornstarch because, you know, regular cornstarch is not enough for me. I need to have my cornstarch.
Holding power.
It needs to be modified. It really does.